Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Or Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good, you?
I'm doing well. Now, you're familiar with the great state of Michigan. You have a house that you visit up there all the time. I have to start with the Michigan notice of allegations that we got yesterday from the sign-stealing Connor Stallion story. 7 different level 1 violations. You had Sharon Moore deleting over 50 text messages. Jim Harbaugh has one of those level 1 violations, by the way, even though he's off with the Chargers. This is hefty. And not that I didn't think it was going to be hefty, but were you surprised by the sort of results of the investigation? I saw 58 times they illegally scouted in a 3-year period. Those numbers don't even add up to me. I mean, if you're getting into a national championship, you're playing 15 games a year, you should only scout 45 opponents, you would think, but they scouted 58. This is unprecedented.
Well, it's interesting because, as I recall, you were of the view last year when this was unfolding, right? That this is not a, you know, they should be allowed to play for the national championship. Weren't you of that view?
I still am of the view, to be fair, Jeff. I still am of the view Michigan, there was probably one team in college football that could have beat them last year, and that's Georgia. And Alabama got close. But I still am of the view that they were the best team in college football a year ago.
Yeah, I am too, and I was of the view that they should be allowed to play for the national championship, and the flag fly forever. So, if you're a Michigan fan, I mean, I hate to say the way you look at this is, yeah, fine, whatever, just tell us what our punishment is. I think that's, you know, we have the national championship. I don't think in any way, except for people who just sort of are hell-bent on holding a grudge or something, maybe Ohio State.
Yeah, think it's, people it's in Ohio. Tainted.
But most people don't think it was Ohio. I mean, it was tainted. Most people acknowledge they won the championship. They were the best team. They were damn impressive on both sides of the ball. And now they'll pay the penalty that they'll have to pay, except for Harbaugh, who won't. You know, because he's off not apologizing as head coach of the Chargers. So I do think it's looking reasonably likely that Sharon Moore is going to be suspended at some point. It feels like it. I mean, in the end, first of all, he's a repeat offender.
Yep.
Because he previously, and I gather sort of that was more of a plea deal in a sense, that he admitted he had improperly contacted recruits during a COVID period when he weren't allowed to. And so this is a repeat offense for him. But listen, when you take to your phone and you delete text messages, that's pretty damning, right? 52 text messages with Connor Stallion. Like, yeah. What do you think?
The day the report was published.
So, I mean, I don't think anyone doubts that this happened. I don't really think anyone particularly believes Harbaugh when he said he was not involved. That seems crazy to me. I also don't think it was probably the difference between W's and L's. It is interesting that, you know, we did see an example recently with the Canadian national team in the Olympics where the coach was sent home, and that was that. She wasn't allowed to participate in Olympics yep. any longer, and the team was actually penalized. It wasn't like, sure, we can see if you can win for the national, see if you can win an Olympic medal. It was we're going to, you know, essentially give you two L's. And if that had been done to Michigan, if the equivalent had been done to Michigan last year, they wouldn't have made the playoff, right? Like, yep. So we did see an example there of where an institution said, no, we're not going to allow cheating. We're not going to give you, when you can catch you in the actual midst of the competition, it's one thing. You know, people used to complain about the NCAA going back and penalizing a team that had nothing to do with it, you know, 3 years later for some misdeeds. Well, here in the example of Canada, but also in the example of Michigan last year, they caught them in the middle of it, right? So I do think that if you were going to argue for real time punishment, that would have been more persuasive than in a lot of cases. But in the end, you know, the details are sexy and sort of interesting and whatever else, but they're just going to pay their penalty and they're going to move yep. on and going to have that flag.
Yeah. So, now, here's my question, though. What do you think about vacated wins? What do you think about something like that? I don't think they'll vacate the national championship. I have been talked off of that. Although I do think if the NCAA had teeth still and wanted to make an example of somebody, they could make an example of Michigan because this was illegal before they did it. It was illegal when they did it. It'll continue to be illegal going into the future, and this is unprecedented. No one else has been caught for anything close to this. They could make an example of them. But what do you think about vacated wins? Just on the surface, does it really matter to you if the NCAA comes in and takes away wins from Michigan?
I honestly think they're kind of dishonest. Like I you know, when you vacate wins for a coach, and so it therefore, you know, I mean, we have examples of this right now. Les Miles, honestly, is like Riz is complaining because he had vacated wins. It doesn't create, and then you look at their win loss record. It's not the actual win loss record is no longer a reflection of what they actually did and what we saw them doing on the field. I think vacated wins are stupid, honestly, you know,
right.
And so I'm really never a fan of vacating something. What does that, you know, what does that even really mean? Like, I don't know, like, and they only do it, like, does any pro sport vacate anything?
No.
I guess
absolutely
they vacate home run records.
Right? Yeah, but those aren't vacated. They're more just asterisked.
Right. But I don't think they're recognized. Like in right now, if you looked at the home run record, it would, I think the notion of vacating, unless you're, you know, if you have one of those wands in Men in Black they had, and you could do that and make us forget that we saw that Michigan won the national championship, that would be one thing, or that Michigan won those games. But short of that, I think they're kind of stupid.
No, I hear you. But we'll see what happens. I mean, this is wild, to be honest. This is, I mean, looking back at it, in your college football watching career, you know, as a sports talker and sports writer, do you remember anything even close to this from a cheating scandal at the college level? It could be any sport. Is there anything close?
No, but there's been wild stuff. I mean,
sure,
like Tanya Harding was a pretty wild story.
Yeah.
Right? Literally hiring someone with a baton to take out her opponent. Like that's as crazy as this. Totally different sport, different level, whatever else. But I mean, that's a pretty wild cheating story in and of itself. Different kind of cheating, but no, nothing. This is obviously taking sign stealing to a new high.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to ask you this, too. I want to dig into the history of this. Memphis got 44 votes in the USA Today coaches poll, so they'd be sort of the 30th-ranked team. I think Boise State right behind them, Liberty not far behind them in the group of five level. Is this the first time that Memphis has been sort of considered this high in a poll in the preseason? I know some people were trying to refer back to when D'Angelo came back for another year, them being sort of right on the outside looking in. But this is the first time since I remember.
So Jeffrey went back and sort of looked at history. And his reporting or his research has indicated that Memphis has never been, I mean, it's kind of, it's a little like, oh, we've never been as high as not actually in the poll, but fifth receiver
right.
votes, right? You know, like,
yeah.
like that's a little like, that. It's, I actually am a little, I was surprised when Jeffrey told me that, that they had never done better. They'd never been in actually in the preseason poll. Because I would have thought that some of the years, you know, under Mike or Justin, I actually wouldn't have thought it under Tommy because they never won a, you know, they never even won the conference.
Yeah.
Under Tommy, so I wouldn't have expected that people would have necessarily thought them to be a preseason top 25 team. But I would have thought, and I don't, you know, I guess. I mean, they did get in the actual poll. They got pretty high some of those years under, you know, in the actual rankings under Mike and Justin. But I guess never to start the year. They have obviously, and it goes to show how much of this is just perception and how much of this is an uphill struggle for Group of Five teams. Because you can be damn sure that there will be a Group of Five team in the top 25 when the season ends.
Yeah.
Right? There almost always is, right? It's often two. And so it's sort of telling that when voters are left to their own devices without anything to go on, just their own, you know, sense of what might happen and their own biases, that there they almost never rank group, but, you know, that Memphis has never been ranked. When Memphis then has to, they start from behind, basically. You never have the advantage of, hey, we're going to start at 12th, and we can only, you know, see if we fall from here. All we need to do is hold our spot. No, left to their own biases and preconceptions, voters are not going to put Memphis in the top 25. They have to earn their way in. I think it really is sort of a, you have to prove it every year. Situation yep. for the University of Memphis.
Yeah,
and congratulations. I'm glad they are as many. It's nice that they are the Group of Five team with the most votes. I do think it's telling that there's not a single Group of Five team in the top.
I think it makes sense that you have to make a Group of Five team go earn it, that you have to make them go win games and string together a win streak. But I do get, I do still get a little bit beside myself when I look at some of these middling Power Four teams that just get nods for name recognition or whatever. I mean, like A&M at 20, you have USC at 23 after a 7-5 season with a new quarterback that's not a Heisman winner. Iowa at 25, although who knows, they'll probably still be Iowa. They'll probably still win nine or ten games.
In their defense, any of those teams, if they were to play, you know, Memphis in September,
they'd be favorites.
Would be favored by Las Vegas, right? And
yeah.
so that's simply true.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Now, I do want to ask you about the Group of Five teams right behind them, Liberty and Boise State. Of those two teams in particular, obviously in different conferences, one in Conference USA, one in the Mountain West, who's more scary to sort of really push for that Group of Five rep in the college football playoff? I almost view it similarly to how I view in conference, where you have UTSA and Tulane right behind Memphis.
Yeah, Liberty Tulane, is UTSA, is that what you're saying?
No, Tulane is a more scary roster, but UTSA has
right.
this easy schedule. I think Liberty
yeah.
has the easy schedule outside of the conference, pushing for that college football playoff spot, and then Boise State probably is the more scary on-field team. You know what I mean? Because Liberty's playing nobody
yeah.
this year. I mean, their hardest game is going to be on the road against App State.
And so you do wonder, will Liberty, given what happened to them last year in the bowl game, will they have, you know, is it an almost impossible struggle for them to get into the playoff this year? Like they have no way of proving of what we were just talking about. They have no way of earning their way in. There is nothing they can accomplish, really, to impress anybody.
Just be undefeated. I mean, that's about it.
Just be undefeated. And I guess if everyone else stumbles sufficiently, at some point, they will, you know, they would have to let Liberty in. But there's no question the more daunting team, obviously, is Boise. And so I think you're exactly right. One is UTSA and one is Tulane. I think that comparison is apt.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to Memphis basketball, been a quiet offseason, but that's a good thing. I have no issues with that. I was looking through some Bart Torvik metrics yesterday, and we know Bart Torvik.
What did you discover?
Last year, do you remember this how I remember? Bart Torvik, even when they were really good in the non-conference schedule, did not like them. Still did not like them. Because
Bart
of
Torvik, that algorithm was predicting doom all along.
It was.
When no one was prepared to hear it or wanted to hear it, and people would roll their eyes at that, what the hell
Correct.
Is Bart Torvik, blah, 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 and sure enough, spot on.
Yes.
So what is Bart Torvik saying today?
26th overall in his preseason predictive metric. That is about as high as they ever got last year, probably higher.
Yeah.
Is that surprising, or do you think that fits considering the offseason that Penny Hardaway and the staff had?
Well, it's interesting. What's interesting is that it appears, and I've seen other rankings of, you know, the transfer class is as high as whatever, seventh or something like that in the country right now.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is last year we had the people in Memphis, exuberant, effervescent, you know, high expectations, didn't want to hear any of the skeptics. If they're skeptical, it's just because they're remembering what happened under Josh Pastner. They remembered what happened under Imani Bates. This is a new Penny. We don't want to hear any of that negativism. Get out of here. This is the year, right? And yet the metrics were saying what the metrics were saying. Now, it's just sort of curious because there you have Bart Torvik, 726 overall, and I've seen other metrics that are, again, pretty optimistic. And in Memphis, it feels like I don't believe that nonsense. This team, we've seen it. We've seen this before. Lost David Jones, you know, and on. It's just weird that the local perception seems much more skeptical this year, and the national perception seems much more positive this year. It is the world flipped around.
Well, is your local, is your perception is sort of, not, I shouldn't say doom and gloom, but is it lower than it was a year ago?
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's natural. I first noticed this when John Martin did the column when he was asked a bunch of national experts, are they a NCAA tournament team? And 4 out of 5 said yes. And then I think it really was at that point that I started to catch myself and think, maybe it's not so bad. maybe this isn't so bad. But I think it's natural that we are so close to it, right? We have lived through it. We have lived through the disappointments. And we witnessed the absolute misery and chaos of last year when it came apart, right? And so I think it kind of makes sense. It's like Grizzly fans who, when Zach Edey sprains an ankle, rolls an ankle, like, oh, no, here we go again. it's the same. It's we're raw. We are raw as a people, you know? And so I think it actually makes some sense that the local perception is a little more, a little more tender about getting your hopes back up than the computers, which don't have emotions. You know, the computers,
right.
Just look at the computers. They weren't burned. They weren't disappointed. They didn't, they're not reacting to the subjective chaos that it felt like last year. So it absolutely has caused me to be more optimistic. Sort of seeing the outside, it's not exuberant, they're going to the Final Four kind of projections, but it's, hey, this team could be damn solid and could very well be the tournament team. And I do think this year is so important for so many reasons, but if you can simply get back to the tournament, which once upon a time would not have been a particularly high bar, it wouldn't have been that success if in this year you could get to the tournament. But if you can just get back to the tournament, it enables you to say, and this is would also be true, that 3 out of 4 years Penny has been to the tournament, the only year, 3 of the last 4 years, the only year that he hasn't is the year that just the chemistry was all wrong.
Yep.
And that can happen. And that's a pretty persuasive narrative of a successful coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get to the tournament, and then you got two straight years outside the tournament, it makes it much more difficult. So I think this year is critical for all kinds of reasons. But I think it really sort of will shape how the whole thing is perceived. And so it's very good to have that dose of optimism. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and then the computers, though, I mean, the one reason it doesn't surprise me, I think the defensive identity's back, and that's probably one of the biggest things that the computers are reading right now. You have a bunch of guys who actually will buy in on that end. Even if they're not that talented, they've played roles at other places. They weren't the guy at their places trying to score consistently. Just feels like that identity for Penny Hardaway is a lot better than it was a year ago. I talked to...
It's funny. That doesn't feel like a computer. Like, or this. I agree. That is the argument.
Well, their defensive numbers. It has to do with their defensive numbers computing those, too. Yeah. Like, obviously, it's not all perception. The computers aren't looking at perception. No. But I think they're looking at the defensive numbers.
Right. And computers don't care that everyone's here by July 1st. That's not the kind of thing they care about. But I mean, you can program that into care. You could program in what time did everyone arrive, how many carry over.
You could.
How many, you know. But I think you're right. I mean, there's obviously, I mean, even just start with Amad Musa. You know, like, it's going to be a very different team than last year. Last year felt like no one wanted to guard. You know,
yep.
It really did. Certainly your best players didn't want to guard, right? And so it was damn hard. And once Caleb Mills goes down, no one wanted to guard. And it's damn hard to get people to buy in when literally nobody is buying in. And instead they're pointing fingers. I mean, it was a complete meltdown.
Yeah. Now, final thing I want to bring up with you, and you don't have to spend too much time, but there are talks surrounding the potential for a FIBA NBA crossover league or annual tournament, potentially in season, in the NBA season. But those talks are supposedly ramping up. What would you think about a tournament like that? I think it would be good fun. I don't see any reason to shy away from the idea.
Well, it's interesting because some of this, you know, we may be talking about because, you know, we've had this recent discussion about what is a world championship.
Yeah, Noah Lyles. NBA's trying to prove Noah Lyles wrong, I guess.
Right, exactly. And that's a conversation I don't really care about. Like, everyone knows the reality here. The reality is, no, it is not technically a world championship. Whether you're talking about Major League Baseball or the NBA or the NHL, it's not a world championship. But they are the best players in the world. So, like, however you want to define that, is a hot dog a sandwich? Is it not? I don't care. It's sort of the same, you know, argument. Here, it would make sense to me just because it could be fun, right? But also, like, I don't expect it to be particularly competitive, you know,
right.
Certainly at the outset. But you would have teams playing teams, which would be, you know, more interesting than teams playing, just all-star teams playing all-star teams. And the other thing that could happen is maybe it wouldn't be competitive at the outset, but in 15 years or in 8 years or in 12 years or in, you know, I mean, we saw once upon a time, just take women's soccer. The U.S. used to dominate in the world in women's soccer, right? And now all of a sudden the world has caught up. And so I think you can imagine the same sorts of things happening now. The NBA will still always, you know, they're going to get the best players. The best, in the Olympics at least, the best NBA players from other countries are playing for those other countries. Here, you wouldn't even have those players on the FIBA teams, right? So, in a sense, it would be even more watered down because you're not going to have Wemby. You know, Wemby's going to be playing for the NBA team, not for the FIBA team, right? So it might take longer to be competitive. But sure, why not? Listen, if we can try to sell the world on 3-on-3 basketball, you know, we can certainly sell the world on a NBA FIBA crossover tournament.
It's a good time to do it, considering like the last two first overall picks were from France. The second overall pick this year was from France. We're seeing what's the stat about the Dream Team played against the other teams in the Olympic tournament in 92, there were 9 other NBA players. This year, there were 61 other NBA players. Like, it seems like a good time to go do this and see what happens. I don't mind the idea. I think it's pretty inventive, to be honest with you.
And I think they talk occasionally about international expansion, which I think is down the road. But again, this is a step. I think all of this stuff is a catalyst for further growth and development. And so, in terms of, in terms of reasonable ideas, I think it's a, I think this is a reasonable idea.
And the other part of it, I think it'll eclipse the NBA Cup. I don't know if the in-season tournament, even based on last year, I don't know if that has a whole bunch of staying power. I think it was a little, I don't know.
It is interesting. Given that the Lakers, you know, completely fell apart afterward, like, did it take some shine off the cup, given how crappy, you know what I mean? Like, this is not like, I don't know. Would it have been more persuasive if one of clearly the best teams in the league had won the...
I would think so, yes. Yeah, if the Celtics won and then won the NBA championship, I think it would mean a little bit more.
I think it would have helped, exactly right.
But still,
I think it's a little bit like
that. That championship doesn't matter. I think that's the problem with year one that everybody saw after the fact. Sure, maybe it was entertaining in the moment, but after the fact, they're like, this thing, it doesn't matter. No one.
Oh, it does not
do we really care?
Maybe.
Should we care?
No, it's just entertainment. No, it's just diversion. It's just a little bit of a change up. That's it. That's all it is. It's a little bit of a change up in the midst of a long season.
Yeah.
And so it's clearly not significant. I do think you're right. I think the FIBA Cup would be more significant. I mean, there would be some pride on the line, you know?
Yeah. And I know we're sort of going to the nationalism that some people don't necessarily want to latch onto and like all that much. But, like, I think there's something to that. Like, with the Olympics, we just hype up every USA team. We're watching, the pole vault to see if the USA guy wins, even though Mondo Duplantis was always going to win from Sweden. But, like, that's just an example. Like, we have this nationalism that definitely brings people to the television and gives them a little bit more pride about what they're watching.
When the flag is involved... There's no question. People get a little, people get worried. I mean, you just have to look at the TV ratings. Once again, I think the numbers for Sunday, and I was interested to see how this would go. Like, it was very clearly when the Olympics began, there was this burst of interest, and then I was interested in, was it going to sustain itself? Well, I think they said 26 million people on Sunday watched the Olympics, Americans watched the Olympics. Now, obviously, it's across different platforms and different times and whatever, but that was essentially double Tokyo.
Yeah.
There's no question. People like watching this stuff.
Yep, for sure. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. We'll do it again on Thursday. That's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's been brought to you by Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Get over, conveniently located off of Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station, 964 June Road to be exact. The first thing I'm going to point you in the direction of is the clothing and the best brands, Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. Get your garb, your Memphis stuff before you head to Tiger Lane. Go get the Memphis State Pouncer Polo. Handle yourself. Get everything you need. But, you know, they have your favorite teams on top of the Tigers. They have your SEC favorites as well. Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, you name it. They have it over 964 June Road. They also have sports memorabilia, vintage vinyl, hunting and outdoor essentials, tailgating gear in general. Get over to Oxbow. And also you can go online. ShopOxbow.com is where you can find them online. And you can tell them I sent you to ShopOxbow.com by using my promo code when you go to check out. Fill that shopping cart with whatever your heart desires. Use my promo code. The Gabe Show, all caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show. And you'll get 20% off your online order at ShopOxbow.com. So take advantage of that. But whether you're going online or in store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now we need to go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we have some NFL news to break down right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And worth mentioning before we get into some NFL news, 92.9 FM ESPN is for another year the official radio partner of the Fall Speaker Series for the Memphis Touchdown Club. Want to mention those real quick. We're going to have Greg Cotton on tomorrow to talk about all of this. It'll be at around 4:30. But the schedule is as follows. August 20th, it'll be Cole Kubelik from the SEC Network, former offensive lineman for Auburn. August 26th, Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. September 16th, Hunter Yurecek, The Arkansas Athletic Director will be there September 30th. You'll get to hear from Ryan Silverfield. That actually will not be at the Hilton Memphis Hotel, but the Hilton Garden Inn in Germantown. It's the only one that will not be at the Hilton Memphis Hotel. October 14th, Billy Glasscock, the Ole Miss football GM. I think you'll learn a lot from him. I mean, I think we have a lot of questions about general managers and their role in college football. We have Jackie Sherrill on October 28th, legendary head coach. November 4th, HaHa Clinton Dix, definitely looking forward to that one. He's the Alabama Director of Player Personnel after being an All-American DB with them earlier in the 2000s on some of those Nick Saban teams. You're going to have Chad Bumpus, Mississippi State wide receiver coach, on November 11th and November 18th, wrapping up the whole thing, Alyssa Lang from the SEC Network. Like I said, we're going to have Greg Cotton on tomorrow to talk about all of this. If you want to go purchase your 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club membership, go to memphistouchdownclub.com. And again, all of those events will be held at the Hilton Memphis Hotel, except the September 30th speaking engagement with Ryan Silverfield. That will be at the Hilton Garden Inn in Germantown. But I'm definitely looking forward to the Fall Speaker Series. There's no doubt about it. And glad we have another year with 92.9 FM ESPN being the official radio partner. Now on to the NFL. We have Brandon Ayuk news that we're going to talk about in the Blitz. But I mean, it looks like the Browns, the Pats, you have the Commanders, the Steelers, everybody's sort of involved in the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes, but he will get to sign off on it. We'll add more detail to that when we get to it. But it looks like there's a lot of injuries and a lot of guys that will be held out of the preseason that are worth mentioning. One, I want, for our Titans fans out there, Sadiq Charles, who actually started a couple of games along the offensive line at the interior offensive line positions for the Titans the last couple of years, he is now been put on the reserve retired list. So I don't know if he's going to play at all. He's been missing the entire training camp, so I don't know what that offensive line is going to look like, but they have rebuilt it, so I don't think there's any huge issue with Sadiq Charles being one guy that's on the reserve retired list. Now, outside of that, we have a massive injury that will and could potentially affect what you do around your fantasy drafts. It has to do with the number one fantasy player in last year's NFL football season, Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey has sustained a calf injury, a strained calf, during the team portion of drills on Tuesday. Now, it looks like he'll miss a couple of weeks of practice, and it's likely that he won't play any preseason at all. Now, I didn't think he was going to play preseason in the first place. It'd be really stupid to throw out a veteran running back in the preseason. No reason to go, you know, put extra tread on his tires. But that calf injury, that's something that definitely comes back. That's something you're going to have to deal with week after week after week. The pain tolerance, making sure you don't have any setbacks, that's going to be a struggle for Christian McCaffrey. This has always been the issue with drafting him at the top of your fantasy drafts, right? You get concerned about his injuries. I know I've told you that it's hard for me to go away from him if I have a top three pick, but I think you need to be a little more cautious with the calf injury and a strained calf with Christian McCaffrey.
It's very funny that the first thing that you brought up with the injury was how it impacts fantasy football. Yeah. That's somebody
true.
Trying to defend a championship.
That's the truth. Listen, you know I still have the belt at home. I mean, I have hung it up. I want to keep it. I want to keep it.
Do you slap it? Or do you walk out of your door and slap it every single day?
Yeah. Like it's the sign for Notre Dame. Yeah. Play like a champion today. That's what I do when I come into work. I slap the belt.
The Gabe Kuhn Show is the only show that's had the belt. I'm just saying. I'm putting that out there for the other shows.
Why are you taking credit?
Are you?
Okay, that's true.
Never mind.
I didn't know what you're saying. I didn't know what you're saying. I get it. Never mind. You've reminded me.
All right.
We're
I won that thing when I was at Rhodes, baby.
We're good. But just saying, that is a good point.
Uh-huh.
The Gabe Kuhn Show owns the damn championship belt.
Masterminds.
No, and one another thing I was thinking about.
We're going to be at the
because
bottom
we did have
rankings.
This past weekend, Luke Combs. He did his fantasy football.
I saw this. Yeah.
You know, the two losers that he had, because I think they had a two-way tie for last in their fantasy football league. He did the punishment. And the punishment was they had to get up there, his two friends in his fantasy football league, and sing in front of a crowd. We've never thought about punishment for the 92.9 league.
One, is that really a punishment or is that kind of awesome? Like, you get to sing at a Luke Combs concert when people know it's a joke.
Wait a second.
But they know it's a joke. You can have fun with it if you have some charm.
It'd be terrifying.
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of fun. Have a couple drinks.
It's like 50,000 people in front of you in a stadium.
They're in on the bit.
Yeah, they're in on the bit, but it's still, I mean, damn.
He should make them sing at a concert that is not his.
I know that, like us, we're decent public speakers. We do this for a living. We understand that.
That's true.
But, like, getting in front of 50,000 people and singing, that's scary.
That is scary. I guess so. I would have fun with it, personally. Two, no, we do not do a punishment in the 929 league. In my
Should
other
we think
leagues,
about it?
Well, we could have discussions about it. In the other leagues that I am in, we do punishments. And the one being kicked around right now for the league that I am a commissioner in is creating a T-shirt for somebody that they have to wear to a Grizzlies game. Because we have a couple graphic designers, and they can make a T-shirt.
We have the ability to really put out an embarrassing punishment.
Yeah. Two favorites are making somebody take the ACT, because that's just very funny. And then the Waffle House or the IHOP thing where you have to be in there for 24 hours. And
you can shave off by eating?
Yeah. And you have to, every waffle is an hour, and as many as you eat, you shave off an hour. Those are my two favorite.
Okay. All right. I think we need to get together with the rest of the guys and put together a nice punishment. Because that's something missing from our league.
We'll get the champs together.
We're too nice.
Wait, we're doing it right now.
Yeah, we're too nice, Connor. We're too nice as a league. We need, like, if you suck, you need to be punished.
Yeah.
Right? Who was dead last year?
Oh, I don't know. I could go find it probably. Yeah. I don't know.
I know John Martin didn't have a good year. I don't know if he was dead last.
I am worried about the karma that we are creating right now, because we're going to cut to 10 weeks from now. We're going to be at the bottom of the standings.
I hope not. Don't you wish that evil on me? I don't wish that evil.
So this is what I call a reverse jinx. That's what I'm doing right now.
Although I will say, every time I win a league, the next year I end up being
you a big first to last guy and then last to first?
Yes, that's sort of where I'm at.
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I take chances. Sometimes the chances work out, sometimes they don't.
When you are a defending champ, the next season is a free shot. That's when you just take risks. You go after the rookies.
Of course, you have the bragging.
That's why, like, last year I was like, Bijan Robinson, come on over.
All right. Well, we'll see. I think we need to put together our brains on a potential punishment.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have to be crazy. But we have to have one. I mean, it seems like a rite of passage. It seems like we are established. We've made this thing happen. Now, the loser needs to be punished. I hope it's not me or you, though. Hope it's not me or you. Hopefully, we don't have first to last situations unfolding. Now, have you seen the Lions and Giants joint practice and all the reports that have been coming out of the joint practices they've had this week, Connor? Have you seen any of this stuff? They had eight fights yesterday at practice, and they were not able to finish the team period yesterday. And then today, they get out there, and Malik Nabers, who is the sixth overall pick to the New York Giants, hopefully their savior for Daniel Jones, the guy that he can throw the ball to, feel comfortable with. He was my favorite wide receiver in this draft, even over Marvin Harrison Jr., to be completely real. He was involved in a massive scuffle today. He caught 17 of 18 passes thrown his direction, and then Detroit safety Kirby Joseph got into it with him, and they started throwing haymakers at each other.
Oh, hold on, real quick. Oh, I just got a message. Do you know what song they sang?
Walking to Memphis.
Oh, no, absolutely I would do that. That's not embarrassing at all. Walking to Memphis is an all-time karaoke song. If you blow that thing out, you could win over a stadium of 50,000 people. That's no punishment. That's a reward. That's no punishment. It's no punishment. That's my song at karaoke. I used to crush
you
that.
You say thing. That until you get through the backstage, until you walk up those steps and you see 50,000 people out in the crowd. You're down.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers, from the route trees to who plays better in man or zone. We provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Playing this so dramatically right now, mm-hmm. Connor. You are downplaying this.
Mm-hmm.
You act like, man, you walk out in front of 50,000 people. You're not going to have those butterflies.
Close enough, you would have butterflies, but you could win people over super fast. Super fast. Oh, no, that's no
punishment. Seen people throw up from nerves from easier situations than that.
That's their problem.
I don't know, Connor. I think you're downplaying
this. Being Luke Combs' friend, he's on stage with you. People are in on the bit. Have some fun with it. A couple drinks.
How many drinks are we talking to loosen you up enough?
Maybe like two bourbons?
Yeah, a couple of bourbons.
A couple old doms
in there, yeah.
Blue suede shoes and
okay. I don't know, Connor. I think you're downplaying how you would feel when you actually walked out from backstage. Okay, you're doing it right now, though.
All right, now
back to what I was talking about. Listen. Malik Nabers.
Back to the Giants.
involved in some scuffles. That feels like the last guy you want in the middle of a scuffle right now. If Daniel Jones and this Giants team is going to succeed going into this year, Malik Nabers is going to have to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I don't think there's any other way forward. Darius Slayton's not going to be that guy. You've given him chance after chance at being that guy. You're going to have to get something out of Malik Nabers. Getting him involved in scuffles with a team like the Detroit Lions and having people, you know, surround him and beat him up, I feel like that's something you need to tell him to get away from.
You ever seen
Don't
Zoolander?
Don't get involved in that.
You ever seen Zoolander?
I have.
Remember the hands?
Yeah.
They've got to put Malik Nabers in those things where it just protects his hands.
Yes.
David Duchovny.
But you got to be careful with that. And it sounds like these practices, I mean, I am one who will always downplay fights at practice, especially in fall camp. When it's 95 degrees, people are at each other's necks, you're competing at the highest of levels. It's really hard not to get mad at somebody when you're competing, when you're struggling, when you're having issues. But at the same time, there's certain people that don't need to be involved in those fights. And Malik Nabers, top of the list for the Giants, right? I don't know if there's any other player on that team that I'm worried about getting in a fight besides that guy.
No, he is their most valuable player in terms of like long-term possibilities for the Giants?
Yes.
Is he number one now that
100%.
Saquon's not there?
100%. Because they've been waiting for Kayvon Thibodeau, who they picked as a D-end a couple of years ago to come along. He hadn't quite come along. I guess Andrew Thomas, their left tackle, they paid a bunch of money to, certainly up there. But Malik Nabers, you have the potential to have him on team control for 4 to 5 years on lower salary to go with a quarterback. Maybe not Daniel Jones. We'll see how that ages.
Did you see the tweet that they put out? Like, who's stopping this offense? And people are like, number 8.
Everybody.
That guy. The guy on the right.
Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Come on now. But I want to see how that team looks this year. Because you went from really good 10-win team 2 years ago to in the gutter last year with Daniel Jones' injury, Tommy DeVito having to step in there. So I would say Malik Nabers, avoid getting into scuffles. Avoid getting into fights.
Protect those hands.
And know what I don't understand? What I've never understood about football scuffles and football fights and fall camp, training camp. If you're going to punch, don't punch a helmet. Go get the body shots in or something. Like, I mean, good God. I've seen way too many broken hands off of guys punching helmets that completely sidelined them for weeks at a time because they decided they were so mad they were going to punch a guy with a helmet on.
I have never understood.
Or at least get the uppercut.
Punching helmets, punching walls, boards. It's not going to go well. It's not going to go.
I mean,
well.
if you're gonna punch a guy, and I don't suggest this, although I've been in a couple of scuffles and
allegedly,
camp. Allegedly, yes. I mean, at least pick the helmet up, take it by like get the helmet off before you punch him. I mean, if you're that mad,
yeah, go Andre Johnson. Rip off the helmet.
I don't understand. Football players get so mad that they punish themselves by punching a helmet. They get so mad at someone else that they hurt themselves.
Or go full Alan Cross and just start headbutting people. Helmet on.
Don't do that.
Headbutt.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Please, God. That's hurting yourself more than it's hurting
shout
someone
out.
Else for the most part. Yeah, shout out to Alan Cross, though. And I think he's still doing that. I thought we had gotten past that, but I think his Bartlett freshman team is still getting hyped up by him headbutting things. That's Alan.
Once a headbutter, always a
headbutter. Yeah,
as the saying goes.
Let's grab a break, though, on that note. We'll come back with small talk. And in small talk today, we have a certain music artist who has a stadium in college football named after him. I'll tell you who that is and what I think about it next.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, today in college football, very interesting day in the world of Florida International University Athletics. They agreed to a 5-year, $6 million deal with Pitbull. From the 305 in Miami, the artist for naming rights to Florida International Stadium. It will be now known as Pitbull Stadium for the next 5 years. Now, what came with this? Obviously, naming rights for Pitbull Stadium. Voli 305 Vodka will be sold at all games. 2 suites for up to 40 people for Pitbull when he shows up to games. They'll be able to use the. He will be able to use the venue for 10 days a year. And he gets the official title of official entrepreneur of FIU athletics. This is pretty cool. This is pretty cool, I gotta say. And it opens up some possibilities. And I think even here in Memphis, I know Simmons Bank just signed it, but I see it now. Memphis football huddling up, ready to run out of the Tiger Head. And you start to hear it. And Project Pat appears out of nowhere. And maybe the rest of 3-6 Mafia, I don't know. Then they run out, led by 3-6 Mafia and Project Pat. Project Pat Stadium is what it's known as. Then they run up to their suites with 40 people. This is a new age of college football. This is phenomenal. This is a great opportunity right out there. Now, I know Simmons Bank has Liberty Stadium for now. But maybe when that gets done, we have Project Pat Stadium, Project Pat Liberty Bowl on the way. Once all the phases are done, I can see it now, Connor. Do you see it?
Oh, I see it.
I hope I painted the picture for the people out there well enough.
Will we call it the Pat?
Yeah.
The Liberty
Come play
Pat?
At the Pat. Come play at the Pat. That's beautiful. That's beautiful stuff, man.
You want to hear a funny Project Pat story I have?
Yeah, let's do it.
So,
good opportunity to bring it up.
I have met Project Pat.
Okay.
A few times, actually. If you're just kind of around, you'll run into him every once in a while. But I was 16 years old working at Malco, my first job ever. And I look up at the cash register. I look up, and Project Pat is standing in front of me. And I'm like, oh, you're Project Pat? And he was like, I am Project Pat. Yes, this is correct. Yes. And I was like, what do you sing? And he goes...
Wait, what do you sing? You said that?
What do you sing? Like,
sing.
I asked him.
Sing.
He was going to the Smurfs.
Was he with his...
He was with the kids.
Okay.
But he was going to the Smurfs. And I was like, Project Pat. Like, imagine being
that
a parent.
That would be a really funny story if Project Smurfs. Pat went to go watch the Smurfs.
And you just look over, and you're like, Project Pat.
That would be a hilarious story,
also
though, if he was not with his kids.
Chandler Parsons with Bella Thorne.
Going to the Smurfs?
Not the Smurfs.
Okay.
Not the Smurfs. That actually wasn't me. That was my
What were they watching 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, God.
What were they watching?
I don't know. Probably just came from the Bluff.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't know if he was with Bella at the Bluff.
You're right. She may not have been able to get in.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Connor, that's a zinger. I got to give you credit for that one.
Yeah.
I didn't laugh. for obvious reasons, but that was a good one. That was a good one. But the opportunities are out
back
there.
Back to 3-6.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting to see, like, who follows Florida International's plan. If you don't have a sponsor for a stadium at, like, Louisiana Monroe or all these different places, who are you? Can you go get a celebrity to name the stadium after? I think that's pretty nice. I think that's pretty cool. And it definitely opens up the opportunity for you to make some money along the way, bring more eyes to it. You have a celebrity in your midst, brings people out to the stadium. I think this is a cool idea.
Oh, it's a great idea.
Now, I think we're heading down this path of just weird ideas, though, too. I mean, we've already had the idea of the Big 12 selling off their rights to a corporate sponsor. And so they'd be the, you know, Bad Boy Mowers Big 12 Conference or whatever.
Hell yeah.
It is. I think that's a little much. And I still think the patches on uniforms is going to be something to get used to. I think it's going to come at some point. But this right here, I can get behind this. I can definitely support something like this.
We got Mr. Worldwide with FIU. We got Flavor Flav with the women's water polo team. Why not?
Explore. This is where we're at in college athletics, though, and really in athletics at all. Explore any opportunity you have to boost your revenue. Take it.
Snoop Dogg is the official mascot.
I don't know if I'm there with, like, you know, the Saudis coming over and buying college football
team. I think
team.
That's a different conversation.
I don't know
yes.
if we need to go
that's
there.
That's a different conversation. But there's 3-6 Mafia would be pretty cool.
There's opportunities out there to make extra revenue, and I think you need to explore those opportunities. If you want to be a part of the large party by the time we get to that point, you need to try to boost and make as much money along the way.
Right.
So, Pitbull. Pitbull, man. When was the last time? When was the last time he put out music?
I don't know. When you have that amount of money, I'm not sure he's.
I think there's more
running to the studio.
There's Latin American artists that have just surpassed him, though. Maybe not for his career, but you got like Bad Bunny, Peso Pluma. You have other guys that have caught up to him pretty quickly.
Bad Bunny, pretty good in Bullet Train.
Really?
Yeah, not bad. Have you seen Bullet Train?
I have not seen Bullet Train.
Bullet Train, solid, fun movie.
Bad Bunny, a decent actor. Okay.
Not pleasantly surprised.
Okay. It's not like Conor McGregor.
He also doesn't have a ton of speaking in it, but he's good.
This isn't like Conor,
I still haven't seen that.
Conor McGregor in Roadhouse, the new Roadhouse.
I still haven't seen that.
I've heard it was
entertaining.
It was entertaining, but Conor McGregor was so bad.
But entertaining doesn't
one
necessarily mean
one of the worst actors
quality.
I have ever seen. And it's not surprising he's a bad actor.
Well, where is everybody? Or something like that.
He's so bad. But listen, opportunities are open. FIU Stadium, because Pitbull bought the rights to the name. It's now Pitbull Stadium. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff.
Well done.
This is such a 2024 story, too. This is so on brand for the year 2024. Let's go ahead and grab a break, though. And you know what's going to be on brand coming up next? That'd be Christian Fowler. He joins every single Tuesday. So it's very on brand for the Gabe Kuhn Show. He's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.